Well, we continue our Advent series today, looking at the Holy Family. And last week we talked about Joseph. This morning we're going to focus on Mary, the mother of the Lord. Can't help but wonder what Mary was like, you know. Imagine having this incredible responsibility as to be the mother of the Messiah, the Son of God. But, you know, I never stopped to think much before about, so what was that relationship like? I mean, so she birthed him, she nursed him, she rocked him when he cried, she held him, comforted him, she taught him, protected him. But did they play games together? You know, she taught him how to walk. Think of that. The one who created the world, and Mary and Joseph taught him how to walk and taught him how to talk. Did she have cookies ready when he got home from, or falafel or something? I don't know what she were making, but did she have something ready when he got home from school? Did she comfort him when the other kids made fun of him? Did her face light up like my mom's face used to light up when Jesus, her son, came home? I mean, I wonder what Mary was like. And I suppose she was like all young girls, full of hopes and dreams. We, as Protestants, don't believe that Mary was born without sin. That's the belief of the Immaculate Conception. But we do know that she was a godly young woman and highly favored by God. We believe that, like all Jewish young Jewish girls, they used to say that the girls prayed that they might grow up and marry and have a child, and that that child would become the Messiah, the chosen deliverer of Israel. And like all other girls, if she prayed that prayer, she had no idea what that would really mean or the sacrifices that would be involved in that. There was an apocryphal work, meaning a book written by somebody that we don't quite buy into. It's not biblical in that sense, called the Protoevangelium of James. And it was that letter written, three or fourth century or something, that said that Mary's parents, Anne and Joachim, were unable to have children and that they were advanced in years. And the story says, kind of like the story of Samuel and his mom and dad, Hannah, that they promised that if they had a child, they would give the child to the Lord. And after she was born, Mary's parents then presented Mary to the priest, and she served the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem. It was also that same apocryphal source that we get the idea that Joseph, her husband, was an older widower with children of his own. So we don't know if any of that's really true or accurate, but what we do know is that she must have been an extraordinary young lady. The scripture refers to her as a virgin, meaning a young maiden that's not married or has not had sexual relations. And when you look, let's turn to Luke chapter 1. When you begin to look at the details and what we do know of her from the passage in Luke, the Bible says, just from the greeting of the angel, the Bible says she was highly favored, that the Lord was with her, that she had found favor with God, that she was blessed above all other women. Elizabeth, her relative, said, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So as we understand it, God was choosing a mother for his son to nurture and love his son. So he would have chosen well, right? He would have chosen a good person. A virgin who was godly and humble. In fact, if we read what is called the Magnificat, her song in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46, we see some other attributes, that she is thankful, "My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior," that he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. So she's thankful, she's humbly aware that God's doing something extraordinary in her life, that she says the Mighty One has done this. And so she recognizes that this has nothing to do with her, it has to do with God himself, that she's God-fearing, that she's hungry for all that God offers, that he fills the hungry with good things. He sent the rich away empty-handed. She's a true daughter of Israel. She knows the Word of God, because the words in Mary's song there are taken from Scripture. So Mary knew the Bible. She knew God's Word and had put that Word in her heart. And the more I read and reflect on this young lady, the more amazed I am, the more inspired I am by her life and her courage and her commitment to God. That she's not to be worshipped, but she is certainly to be honored. And like no other human being in the history of the world, she was favored by God to bear God in flesh in her womb. What an extraordinary thought about God himself and about this young woman. It was perhaps a morning like any other. Tradition says that Mary, now betrothed to Joseph, was drawing water at a well in Nazareth. And there are a couple of sites in Nazareth. There's a site now marked by the Church of the Annunciation that there's a well that's been there for, 2,000 years. Maybe that's the place. When the angel Gabriel appeared to her while she's drawing water with this curious greeting, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Well, that's got to be good news, isn't it? First, that the Lord considers you highly favored and that He's with you. You who are highly favored, meaning you who are graced by the Lord, you who are blessed, richly blessed, and the grace of the Lord is upon him. And let's read Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. We'll kind of just see what the conversation is here. "So in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' And Mary was greatly perturbed or troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I'm a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I'm the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' And then the angel left her." Some scholars believe Mary to have been a young teenager, maybe somewhere anywhere between maybe 15 and 17, somewhere in there. Imagine the responsibility that's suddenly thrust upon this young girl. She's to marry Joseph, whom, as we've said, some traditions said was an older man, a widower who maybe already had children. So whether or not this young teenage girl is about to become a stepmother to Joseph's children, if in fact that's the case, what we do know for sure is she's about to become pregnant before marriage. Pregnant but single, and some may understand and can relate to the emotions of joy mixed with fear at the knowledge of that. Pregnant and unmarried. And you may understand how she must have felt knowing that she was going to face speculation and perhaps ridicule from family or community. I mean, it had to be in her mind, what are my parents going to think? This couple that had given her to God, are they going to think I've fallen from my walk of holiness, my devotion to the Lord? And how are the townspeople going to treat me? And Joseph, what's Joseph going to think? How are they all going to react to this? How am I going to explain a pregnancy? And what could she do? And what would Joseph do? And we talked about it last Sunday as we talked about Joseph. Matthew's gospel explained how he intended to respond, that being a righteous man, he was going to quietly end the betrothal or the engagement with a divorce, because a legal divorce was required to end the betrothal. And he was going to do that privately, quietly, so as not to shame Mary, until the Lord spoke to him in a dream and explained what was happening, and that he was to take her as his wife, but he had no sexual union with her until after Jesus was born. And I can't get over what must have been going through her heart and mind, how overwhelming it all must have seemed to her. I mean, it's overwhelming to me just reading about it. And her questions, it seems like there really needed to be a lot of follow-up questions, don't you think? I mean, how can this be, she says, seeing I'm a virgin. And the angels answer, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And we can't imagine what she felt hearing that, and how could she even possibly begin to comprehend that. That the Holy Spirit will somehow be involved in this. The power of the Most High to overshadow me. What will that be? And then the angel said her child was to be named Jesus, which means Savior. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And she knows what that means. She knows the prophetic words. She knew the scripture, and she knows then you're talking about the Messiah. But it sounds like you're talking about more than that. The Holy Spirit of God is going to be upon me and overshadow me. And who is this child? And it all sounds wonderful and amazing, but it all sounds like trouble, doesn't it? I mean, Stop and think about it. You know, blessings are, they have a lot of trouble with them. You just won the lottery, $400 million. Well, that's a blessing. And then that's a lot of trouble. That's a lot of trouble. Weirdos start coming to your house. You can't go out. People want your money. You've got to pay taxes. It's just, your life just goes. Most people that win a whole lot of money, it all just falls apart. Blessings have great responsibility that come with them. This sounds wonderful, but it sounds like trouble. What's it going to mean for Mary? What's it going to mean for her son and for Joseph? It was a dangerous time for Jewish nationalists and nationalism. Mary knew that not too many miles from her home in Nazareth, and Nazareth kind of sits down nestled in a kind of in a valley with hills around it, but not too far to the north, the Romans had put down a Jewish insurrection. They had crucified 2,000 Jews and burned the city of Sepphoris and Emmaus to the ground. In fact, some think that since Joseph was a carpenter, he probably found work helping to rebuild the city of Sepphoris because it was so close to Nazareth and they would need stonemasons and carpenters like Joseph. And all of this talk of Jesus, a Messiah and a Savior and a Deliverer, sounds wonderful, but it sounds like it might get somebody killed in the process. And the angel Gabriel gets his answer, as we read from Mary, and then he leaves abruptly, and it just says, then the angel left her. Hang on just a minute. A few more questions. I need a few more details. I need to cover the what ifs. What if Joseph doesn't believe me? Is that going to be a deal breaker? Can I back out of this? And what if my parents don't believe me? Could you, hey, Gabriel, could you go with me to talk to mom and dad? Because who's going to buy this? Come on. Will you be there? Is this going to disrupt my whole life? Is this going to hurt? And here's what we learn from Mary's experience. First of all, where God's kingdom and plans break in upon this earthly kingdom and our plans, there's usually pain involved. And I don't want to scare you this morning, but that's the truth, all right? So take that and apply that every time we talk about you need to surrender your heart and life to Jesus. That translates into, yeah, take up a cross and deny yourself and come follow me. And anytime there's a cross involved, there's pain involved. And when God says, I've got a, you know, there's good news. I've got a wonderful plan for your life. You just know that there's some sacrifice and pain involved in that because you're going to die to yourself and die to flesh and die to your own agenda and your own plan and your own purposes and all that. God called Mary to a place of surrender and commitment, to a place of sacrifice and obedience, and there would be pain involved. And there would be rumors and speculation of neighbors and the issue with Joseph. And there would be a tearing of her physical flesh as she gave birth to her son, to God's son. And according to Simeon in Luke 2, there would be a sword that would pierce her own soul as well. Blessed and highly favored, but a sword would still pierce her soul and her heart. Folks, I want to make sure you hear it because I don't know if you hear it everywhere else. I don't know if you hear it on Christian TV because I don't watch much of it. And I don't know if you hear it at other churches because I'm not in other churches. But I just want to tell you, if anybody tells you you are blessed and highly favored and if you'll serve Jesus, there'll be no pain and there won't be any trouble and there won't be any problems. Go back to the very beginning because Mary was blessed and highly favored. Blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. But a sword pierced her soul and there was pain and there was sacrifice. And that just goes with the territory. Obedience is seldom pain-free. Amen? Am I telling you the truth? Or I'm just checking. Because it's what I know to be the truth. Another thing we learn from Mary's experience is that information seems to come on a need-to-know basis. And we won't have all the answers up front. And boy, don't you hate that about the kingdom. Because I'd rather wake up and there'd be a little notepad during the night. God would just kind of give me some instruction and I'd say, yeah, that's good. I'm a fan of the Old Testament. A prophet shows up and says, here's what God says to do. And I say, thank you very much. I'm going to do that. And I get out there and do it. And you get to the New Testament and then it's kind of lackadaisical, loosey-goosey. Well, it seemed good to us and seemed good to the Holy Ghost. And that's what we decided to do. And the only instruction we're getting, I'm way off my notes here, Phyllis, so we'll catch back up in a minute. But the only instruction we're getting is, don't worry about it because I'm going to go to heaven, Jesus said, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and He'll be with you and He'll lead you and guide you into all truth and He'll show you the way. And that implies to me then that that doesn't happen by accident. That happens because we're praying and reading the Word of God and seeking the direction of the Lord. Show us then. And I'm a little unclear. And he says, that's okay. Just take the step. You're going to do this by faith. I'll tell you as you need to know. It was a walk of faith for Mary. And she didn't know how all this was going to turn out. She couldn't have foreseen the cross and all the pain in her heart or the glorious resurrection. And God didn't give her the answers up front. And he seldom gives them to us up front either. Instead, we walk by faith and not by sight. We trust in the God who is faithful and who told us he was present and who told us he still does the impossible. And he'll give us the answers and the information and the direction as we need them, when we need them. In the meantime, we trust and we obey and we rest in him and we walk by faith. And God is calling us to a place of surrender and commitment. And like Mary, it'll be a place of sacrifice and obedience. And there'll be pain involved. And we likely won't have all the answers or information up front. And there was a tearing in her physical body as she gives birth. There'll be a tearing in our flesh as we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. It's no small thing to surrender your life and everything to God and his will for your life. But like Mary discovered, it's the best thing. It's the best thing. And Mary could view this whole thing as either more trouble than she's ever known or a far greater blessing than she could have ever conceived. It'll be determined by her response. And the same can be said for us. Because God calls us this morning, perhaps not in as dramatic a fashion as Mary, but we're being called to surrender to him and to his will and his direction and his plan and his purpose for our lives. All of us are being called to a life of obedience to Christ, and we, like Mary, are given a choice. And what will we choose? Because you see, it's possible that Mary could have said, listen, would you tell God I appreciate the offer? I appreciate him thinking of me. I mean, this is a real honor. But really, I'm just not that maternal. You know, I just don't see myself being a mom. I'm not the mothering type. I can't do this. I don't know. I'm not a very good cook. I don't know. And look, I'm honored, but Joseph will be upset. Mom and Dad will be upset. I'll be embarrassed. They'll be embarrassed. It'll cost me too much. It's too much of an interruption to my plans. Could we wait a little longer? Could we do this when I'm a little older? Let me live a little bit. I was going to travel. I was hoping to go to Jerusalem in a couple of months and now I'll be pregnant. I don't know about that. I mean, what are your excuses for why you won't surrender to what God wants to do in your life? I need to get a few things done. I need to make a little money. We got to have a little nest egg. I don't know. We need this. We need that. I need to think a little on this. Give me a little bit of time. Don't push me, preacher. I'm not ready to make a decision. I don't know. Whatever your excuse is, that's what Mary's could have been. Mary could have chosen to avoid the pain. It sounds like trouble. I don't want to obey all your rules. I don't want to have to go to church. I don't know. Whatever you think the rules are. Mary could have chosen to avoid all that. No risk, no trouble with Joseph, no birth pains in a stable, no running from Herod and hiding in Egypt somewhere. She could have said no, stayed in Nazareth, married Joseph, had a nice house, a nice life with the carpenter, had a few kids, lived happily ever after. But oh, what Mary would have missed. My, what playing it safe would have cost Mary and all of us in the kingdom of God. Because you see, the angel said, Mary, let me explain how this is going to work. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. And in some unique way, you will experience something that no other human being ever before or ever will experience. Or you can have the consolation prize. It's a Keurig. And thanks for playing the game. And here we are. We've got a choice. Mary, you can skip the pain and the sacrifice. But you'll miss the incredible. You'll miss the best. You'll miss the greatest. You'll miss knowing God in a way nobody's ever known Him. You'll miss the pain of birthing a child in a stable and running for your life, you're right. But you'll miss the glory of holding the Son of God in your arms, cradling the one who cradled the stars as He flung them into space. You'll miss all that, Mary, but the choice is up to you. And I'll tell you this morning, a call to obedience and surrender in your life may be a call to pain as the Holy Spirit confronts the sinful, willful flesh in you or in me. But it's worth the sacrifice and it's worth the pain. Obedience is always a call to come up higher. It's a call to experience the grace and the glory of God like you've never experienced it before, just like Mary. It's a call to be more than you could ever be. It's a call to obedience. It's a call to accomplish more than you could ever accomplish on your own or by yourself. It's a call to experience God's very best. It's a call to align yourself with His cause and His will and His way and His purposes. It's a call to walk in intimacy with the One who is faithful. Yes, it's a call to pain and sacrifice and dying to yourself, but it's a call to an extraordinary, abundant life. And the call is being made to Mary, and the call is being made to you this morning. How will we answer? Because He's calling you today. Be obedient. Surrender. Say yes to whatever it is He's calling to you, and come experience that greater grace and glory and leadership. Come experience more than you could ever be apart from that surrender. Mary asks only that one question. How will this be since I'm a virgin? Just one question. I would have had so many questions. But it seems so simple for Mary. Just tell me this. How will this be? And the answer itself, when you funnel it down, was pretty simple as well. Mary, nothing's impossible with God. And somehow that was all she needed to hear. Nothing's impossible with God? Good enough. And remember where Mary was in the context of Israel's history. There'd been no prophet, no word from God for 400 years. There's 400 years of silence between the last book, Malachi, not the last book. I usually have to run through it. Malachi, or as we say, Malachi. Malachi and Matthew. There's 400 years of silence. And then an angel shows up and announces to a teenage girl in Galilee that nothing's impossible with God and that the Lord is with her. And I can imagine Mary thinking, that's what the priest told me. And that's what Mom and Dad told me. That they recounted the stories of the miracles of the patriarchs and the prophets. But there's been no prophet for so long, and there's been no good news, and there's no reason to think that God was with us or that God could still do the impossible. And our land is occupied by the Romans, and Jews are being executed at the whim of a Roman emperor or a puppet king. And we wondered maybe if God had forgotten His promise to Abraham and to his descendants. Things look impossible. And we started to think that maybe the days of miracles were past. But the angel said nothing was impossible with God. And that's all Mary needed to know. That somehow it settled it in her heart. If God can do the impossible, then He can make all this happen as well. And I can deliver this child. And if nothing is impossible with God, then I can say yes to all that God has for me today and every day in the future. And with that knowledge in her heart and mind, we hear Mary say these powerful, liberating words of surrender and commitment. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I love that. King James Version says, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I like that. Behold, here I am. Here I am. A handmaiden, a servant of the Lord, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. I surrender, Lord. I'm your servant. I'll do what pleases you. I'll do what honors you. I'll do what gives you glory for you and your kingdom. Whatever the trouble or whatever the pain or the inconvenience or however I have to change or alter my plans, not just for today, but for the rest of my life, I belong to you. Use me as you see fit. That is complete surrender. And there may be a battle that comes with surrender, but oh, what glory and joy comes with it as well. So yeah, she doesn't know about all that yet, but hear that song that she begins to sing in verse 46. My soul magnifies the Lord. And her spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble estate of His servant. And from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. Look at verse 45. It's Elizabeth's affirmation of Mary, and it sums up so much concerning Mary's faith. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And somehow I believe this is the key to Mary's life. Her willingness to believe what the Lord said would be accomplished, and her willingness to surrender to whatever God desired for her life. Folks, that's that combination right there. If you'll just say, I believe whatever God says is going to happen for my life, and I surrender to that, you're going to be miles down the road in terms of your walk with God. I don't know what it's going to hold, because I don't know the future, and there's crosses to bear and there's struggles. I get that. But you know what? I trust Him. I'm willing to experience whatever He has down the road because I believe what the Lord said would be accomplished. And I'm willing to surrender everything to Him. Believe and surrender to His call and to His plans for you. Believe and surrender. Trust and obey. It leads to the miraculous. It leads to the incredible. It leads to salvation and redemption. It leads to joy and holiness. And Mary believed what God told her through the angel Gabriel would be accomplished. And the result of that is our salvation. Mary believed it. He really will come, and He'll be the Son of God. And you'll give Him the name Jesus, and He'll save His people from their sins. And she, this young girl, believed it. And said, then sign me up. I'll be a part of this. And God used her. And she became the means of birthing into this world the Son of God who gave Himself to redeem us. Wow. That's what obedience yields, you see. And may I challenge you today to submit your life to Christ the way Mary submitted her life to God. Trust God, even when what He's calling you to do looks risky and frightening and impossible. Obey Him when it seems risky to obey. Surrender to Him even when the cost seems great. For He's called to you to walk in obedience and in surrender, to trust His promises and to rely upon His faithfulness. That call leads to victory for you and for others in your life. Mary's obedience led to salvation and redemption for us all. But your obedience will make the difference in your life and in the lives of people around you. You say, yeah, but Mary was unique, right? Yeah, she was. She was blessed and highly favored and chosen. But so are you. You see, you've been blessed by God's mercy and grace. You've been favored by God. He chose Mary to bear His Son and give birth to the Redeemer. But He chose you to receive life from the Son, to be born again into the kingdom of God, and to bear the good news and the life of the Spirit in your life and in your dealings with others. He chose you, and He calls you daughter and His and son, and He calls you His beloved. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life if you will surrender to Him. He's counting on you. The question is, how will you respond to His call this morning? You can either say, you know, now is just not a good time for me, or whatever. Or you can say like Mary, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as You've said. Lord, whatever You want, whatever You're asking me to go through, I'm Yours. So the question is, will you surrender to Him today? Will you believe that what He's promised, what He said to you, He'll do? Will you commit your life and your future to Him today? Because it'll make all the difference in the world. Listen to Elizabeth's words again. Blessed is the one who believes what the Lord has said will be accomplished. Believe it and risk it and surrender it all to Him today. Let's stand together this morning. Play a little I Surrender All, like in the key of C. How about that? Can we sing that as a prayer this morning? And maybe there's something the Lord's been dealing with you about. A decision that you've got to make. Somebody, I don't know why, I feel that in my spirit. Somebody, you're thinking about selling a business. Thinking about making a change or whatever. And you think, I don't know, don't do it because I'm saying this. I'm just saying what I feel in my spirit. You're praying about that. What I'm telling you, whatever it is, if the Lord's prompting your heart to move in this way, don't be afraid to do what the Lord's telling you to do. Don't be afraid to take the next step. If God's put that in your heart, you say, well, but it might be risky. It might be this and it might be that. Just Obeying, obedience. Surrender it to Him today. And maybe you're here and Jesus is, maybe you haven't been serving Him. Maybe you haven't been living for Him. Maybe you think it's going to cost you too much to really sell out, really give yourself to Jesus and live for Him, serve Him. But I'm telling you, the greatest grace and blessing and favor of God is ahead. Well, but you just said there's going to be pain. Well, yeah, there is, because we're living on this fallen planet. And there's going to be trouble. And you'll have to grit it sometimes. Sometimes doing the right thing and serving Jesus, because your flesh is still ugly and still wants to rear its head and say, come on, Phil, it'd be more fun to do this. Yeah, but I'll feel bad afterwards. And I won't please Jesus. And it won't take me where I want to be. It'll separate me from His love. So I'm not going to do that. We turn our back and we walk with Jesus. Maybe you're here. Maybe the best way for you to make that commitment would be, while we sing this, just to slip out and come and stand or kneel here at the front. We'll pray with you this morning. But you just need to make that commitment to Him, to really surrender it to Jesus. Do that as we sing this chorus. I surrender all. I surrender. My blessed Savior, I surrender all. Sing it to Him. Let it be your prayer. Yes, I surrender all. Whatever you ask of us, Lord, whatever you desire, I surrender. My blessed Savior, I surrender all. Lord, I praise You this morning that You call us to a place of surrender and a place of purpose. Lord, may it be that we'll say, as Mary did so long ago, behold, the handmaiden, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to Your will. That what we desire more than anything else is Your will to be done in our life. We don't care what the risk is or what the pain or sacrifice or anything else. We'll take up a cross and follow You. We'll walk in obedience to You, so we surrender ourselves to You. And we will believe that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. And so we'll live into that. We'll grow into that. We'll walk by faith into that. What You say will be done, Lord, we're in agreement with that. That's what we want for our lives. Whatever the cost, whatever the sacrifice, let it be for us as it was for Mary. And let Your Holy Spirit be upon us and grant us grace to walk in obedience to You now and in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Let's go in faith and obedience and in surrender to Him. God's blessing be upon you. Come back tonight. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. 6 o'clock. It's going to lift your heart. We'll see you tonight. Amen.